is A Little to the Left worth our time? We're about to find out. Welcome, everyone, to episode 164 of 1 Hour, One Decision, 1H, 1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, well, Tom, do we need to go a little or to the right?
I think it really depends on how off-kilter the thing is, you know?
That's fair. That's fair. So we are talking about A Little to the Left, developed by Max Inferno. Maybe one developer? I'm not sure.
It's a good name.
It is a good name. And this game came out in November of 2022 on Switch, PC, and Mac. And then most recently, as of this recording, February 2024 on PS4, PS5, and the Xbox family.
Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Well, what is in this family now, Tom? What kind of game is this?
Are we not jumping? We haven't talked about size.
Oh my God, you're right. This game is 2.03 gigabytes on the PC, Tom. What about on the Xbox?
On the Series S, I can confirm it is ever so slightly larger, 2.42 gigabytes. Just a hair bigger.
Okay, a little to the left inside. I don't know. All right, let's... Let's get into what kind of game this is now.
Okay. Well, I put Zen Puzzle. Ooh. Two words.
Okay. That's, I could see that. I just put 2D puzzle / organizing game.
See? Yeah. Accurate.
It is, 2D-ish.
It's pretty flat.
It's pretty flat looking.
It doesn't use the 3D CG graphics.
Yeah. No, not those kind of graphics. But what about that kind of loop graphics? The game loop. Let's talk about that. What do we got, Tom?
You are struggling.
I'm disorganized as heck. This game has...
Your thoughts are disorganized.
we're going to try to clean this up.
I will. So I have a lot more words here, and your type of game materializes in my game loop. I put organize various messes while chilling out to mellow themes.
I have organized household items.
Yes, you certainly do. That is the lens through which, not too surprisingly, right? The game is called A Little to the Left, and it is about the sorts of things one might do in the home to make your home feel a little bit more organized, a little bit more correct.
For sure. And we'll see what we liked about this game right now as we talk about our likes.
So I've built towards it. There are no instructions here, but yet, as a human being living in the world in the modern day, somehow it's obvious what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I find that very interesting.
Right.
You're just sat down in front of something and it's like, no, this is wrong and I will fix it. And then the game goes, yep, you were right. You're right. It was wrong, and that is right. And then it moves you on to the next stage.
It makes me wonder, as someone like if you were to drop a child in front of this game, what do you think they would do? Would they actually try to organize it, or they'd be like, "What? I don't see what's wrong with this. Just this is fine as it is."
I think, you know? And I put as a second one of my likes the satisfaction of correct intuition. Mm. There is. I think it probably resonates better with some people than other people. I think that if you are not a terribly organized individual, you will probably struggle with some of this. whereas someone who is a neat freak or someone who has all their video games alphabetized, as I do, like it becomes very like, there's only one way that this works, right?
Yeah.
and I like that I get a little chime when things click into place and it's like, you know, get a little star and it says, good job. Good job, Tom. You've figured it out. You knew what to do.
Absolutely. And I do echo in your first point about the simplicity of this game. You are just like you said, you're just kind of, you start the game and it just throws you right into it. It's like, here you go. Here's all this mess. Figure out what you need to do with it. And you progress. As you continue to progress in the game, the challenges get a little bit more challenging. which is good, right? Like that, I like the idea of things starting to get a little more challenging as you get further and further through this game. This game is broken up into chapters too. I don't, so I guess maybe in a way you're kind of going through this person's rooms in their home or something like that, because the first part is, it seems like a lot of like art materials and books and stuff like that. So maybe in like some office. And then I got to chapter two, didn't finish it yet, but that was more onto like the kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it was, it's kind of cool to see that. And I agree with you. You talked about Zen and stuff like that. You've got some relaxing music throughout the whole time, which I probably would appreciate when I'm cleaning my home. You know, maybe turn something on here. Maybe play this game music in the background while I'm organizing. Maybe that'll help. Maybe I'll do that and have my kids clean it and see what happens. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be more inclined to clean.
Yeah, maybe. So what else you got there?
I have settings to adjust sensitivity. I found very helpful. Because playing this definitely feels like it would be better on a mouse and keyboard to me, because you're using the controller to kind of mouse around, and I'll spoiler that sits in my dislikes as it will always do.
Yeah.
But fortunately, you can go into the game settings, you can tweak the sensitivity settings and make it so that it's, I guess, less sensitive. Mm-hmm. And that would, it helps me out because I was, kind of scrolling past things and getting a little frustrated up front. It also, in there, in the controller options, there are things like quick snap and slow mode. So there are ways to quickly highlight like the next item on the screen.
Oh, that's nice.
Things to, like, if you need very fine adjustment on an item, you can kind of slow the mouse, or in this case the controller, down to to dial in exactly where you need to get to. Which is obviously a very easy thing to do with one's hands, but becomes a little bit more challenging when you're interacting with the game the way you are.
Yeah, I'm glad they had that. And spoiler for me, yes, I did try this on a controller as well initially, and I was like, this seems like a mouse and keyboard kind of thing, and immediately went there and was definitely better. I would even argue that this game needs to have touch controls.
Yeah.
If possible. So, and this game was on the Switch. I am kind of curious about that. But the other thing that I thought was kind of cool was multiple solutions. So
yes,
certain puzzles have like the way you organize like books and stuff like that. There might be certain ways that you can organize it, and you get that gets indicated by the stars at the end of the particular puzzle. So I thought that was kind of cool. I'm glad that they kind of weren't tying me down to one particular solution, especially with when you see multiple ways to do it. So I'm glad they put that into the thought of the game too. So good on that. Yes. On Max Inferno.
The last thing that I have to touch on before we move on to our dislikes, because we've already started illuminating some of them, is that fortunately, if you do get stuck, there are hints available.
Yeah.
So you can press a button and you can, and it does it in a kind of a cool way where the hint is obscured and you have to almost like scratch it off. Yep. So you can reveal kind of as much of the hint as you need.
Right.
And maybe just scratch off just the left corner and start where, okay, like what goes way far to the left? Okay, that's the item that goes there. Maybe that's enough of a clue for me to figure out the rest of it without having to like reveal the whole clue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just having the clues available in a puzzle game is a godsend. It makes a big difference.
Do you get penalized for doing that?
I didn't see any way in which I was being penalized. This is not a game that is trying to be hard.
Like, yeah, this is not like a Dark Souls or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Really quickly, also, I just thought that the game looked pretty good overall for what it was. Very simple, very flat design, but it worked. And I think it also kind of got me into this very mellow mood because of like kind of the muted colors and palette and stuff like that. So soft tones, they maybe call it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool. Now we've kind of alluded to some of our dislikes. So let's jump right into that.
Yeah. So I could not stand using the controller like a mouse. Any game that does this, I just get kind of frustrated with. But the problem is here, it's the whole game. Sometimes it's like, oh, you do that in the menu or something. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just not be in the menus then.
Right.
But no, this is the way that you interact with the game. And so, like, I just wanted, the whole time I was playing the game, I was like, I just want to play with the mouse. Like, I just don't want to interact this way. And like you said, playing this with a touch screen would be way better too.
Yeah.
The interface would just be much more intuitive and just feel better. It doesn't feel good on a controller.
Did the quick snap help at all in that way, or
it did? It definitely did. I did find it a little bit further into my play time, and that helped a lot with the frustration of it. But it still didn't. It still felt like this is a salve to help with the way that this feels, but it doesn't. It's still not right, you know?
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I didn't like was every once in a while after you finish a puzzle, that damn cat that you kind of see in the shadows just knocks over all your work. And I was like, why would you do this to me? This is like very frustrating when you put all that time and effort into organizing something and a freaking animal just destroys it, messed up.
I guess that's the simulation of real life encroaching there.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I can see that being an issue that I have to deal with on a daily basis with my kids. So cats are kids, folks. That's what they are.
They're not too dissimilar, right?
They're not too dissimilar.
Most of the time, I had no idea how far along I was in the game. Like, you get a level, it hands you another level. You get a level, it hands you another level. And you don't really know where you are in the grander scheme of things until you hit, like, a chapter mark. And it's like, oh, I've changed rooms or something.
Yep.
I also didn't know while I was playing what those stars meant. The game is very tight-lipped on what's happening most of the time. It doesn't give you a whole lot of direction. So I was like, how do I get more stars? Like, it felt, coming from playing lots of video games, it felt like a score at the end. And so I always felt like I was not doing it fast enough or something. It's like, oh, you got 1 star out of 3. And I was like, how do I get 3 stars out of 3? It didn't really dawn on me that it was like, oh, I replay the level and solve it a different way. And therefore... Right. And I think perhaps when I went and looked at the hints, if I saw that there were 3 different solutions or something, that would have helped. But it doesn't really do that. Like, it gives you, this hint is like a solution.
It's just one hint, right? Yeah. Okay.
Maybe like the prime solution or the solution people are most likely to think of or whatever.
Sure. But, I wonder how that playtesting worked with this, right?
Yeah.
Did they maybe like go through like a survey or like, you know, how did they, like, there's some spreadsheets somewhere that like goes like go through like a whole statistic thing. Like, okay, well, this is going to be solution A versus B. I'm kind of curious about that.
And there, I'm sure that there are examples of you know, solution D, right? Like, where they've created a puzzle, they see 3 ways that it can be solved, and you've solved it a 4th way, and you're like, why is this not right?
Yeah.
And that's got to be, I mean, for me, it was frustrating when I got stuck, right? Where my intuition did not line up with the game's intuition.
Right.
And I was like, but I've lined these all up by shape, or I've lined these all up by color. And the game is like, no, that's not good enough. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? You know?
Well, which one got you? What was that one puzzle, if you can remember, that got you? I could say it's the books that had
the books,
the colors, and then they had shapes. So I was like, my first thought was like, all right, red, you know, like go through primary colors, like red, orange, yellow, like the rainbow kind of thing. That didn't work. And then I noticed there's like this little bar on each of them. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try and like stack it up, because it looked like it went all the way up like that. That didn't work. And then like, And I saw that, like, how some patterns, like, bleed into each other or whatnot. So I tried to stack it that way. It didn't work. And the other thing, actually, that you point out with the whole, like, notification that you get, the little ding after you complete something, it does ding every once in a while when you place something in the correct way. But in that particular one, it didn't do that. It didn't do that. And I was, like, getting frustrated. I was, like, literally moving the book into each slot. I was like, this is not working. I'm not getting a ding at all. So that was, yeah, that's when I think that was the first time I opened this, the hints, and saw, I just erased the whole thing. I was, let me see what the hex is. I had no idea what they were looking for. So, and that, I believe that has multiple solutions too, but I just couldn't figure it out. It was frustrating.
And I'm guessing the reason it doesn't ding is because there are multiple solutions.
Yeah.
And so if it dinged, dong?
Ding, dang, dong.
Yeah. Donged? Yeah. If it made a sound every time you put it in a potentially right position,
yeah,
you'd never figure it out.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
I mean, but true. This is right. But, you know, but this is only right if that is also right. Like, I don't know. Yeah. That would be tricky.
That would be tricky. Yeah. So that was definitely one of my dislikes about this, because it's like, while it's cool that there are a lot of solutions, a lot of times it's just like, it just, the solution made no sense to me. So, yeah.
So that actually, good segue, reminds me. So when you first start up the game, the daily puzzle is highlighted, like the game wants, like, almost draws your attention to it and says, like, kind of like, play me in a sort of way. And so I tried the daily puzzle before ever starting the game, like, the, you know, the story mode, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
And I was utterly and totally lost. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. Now, what is interesting is once I've played, you know, an hour of the game and then went back to the daily puzzle, I got it. And it was like, it was just rearranging sticks.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think it's like the game primes you for how it expects you to solve puzzles. And so with that priming, then you look at the mess and go, yeah, okay. This is how this should go.
Yeah.
So I just found it very frustrating at first, which was the game seems to have been pushing me to do that. And it was impossible without any direction. But then thereafter, having played the actual game, I was able to complete it. So.
Okay.
Oh, also from the start screen, there's DLC listed. Yuck. Boo, hiss. How dare you try to sell me something before I've even begun?
Did they, was there a pop-up though, or was it just kind of in the menu?
No, it was in the menu. It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been. There, we've had some very blatant games, games where they just blatantly said, hey, don't forget, we have DLC. Buy it here. Click right now to buy it and purchase it.
Yeah. Like, oh. And that would have been egregious. It was my last of my dislikes, not my first of my dislikes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of already talked about this, but this game really needs to be on an iPad or whatever. Because it does, if it seems like it would be perfect on that. And I am kind of curious if the Switch version has touchscreen controls on it too. So yeah, xCloud would be cool if it had touchscreen.
Oh, there you go. Speaking of that, Chris.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our other thoughts. And do you have any?
Yeah. Name? Yeah. Well, how long to beat this? Says this game is 3 hours to complete that whole single player campaign or whatever you call it.
Right.
But 3 hours to beat. I will also note, by the way, if you go back into, like, if you quit out of the single player mode or the story mode and then go back in, you'll see actually your progress. So there's that too. But it is kind of like, it could have been in the menu. It could have been in that menu, like, be like giving you that progress bar as well. This game does have xCloud, Xbox Play Anywhere. So your saves and everything work everywhere. So that's great. Good stuff. Good on them. Max Inferno in doing that. What do you got here, Tom, about other
stuff? Okay. So I have the answer to your question. Max Inferno is a 2-person indie game studio. So
nice. Just
two folks. That's it. I did ultimately find out that the stars are the number of possible ways to organize each stage. So for anybody who was curious about that and frustrated by it, for sure. This is the first game made by these developers. It was made for something called the GMTK Jam 2020. And the company is based out of Halifax, Nova Scotia in Canada.
All right.
A couple of Canadian folks went to a game jam, They were, I think the prompt was something like uncomfortable or something like that. Like it's, so it's like, you know, how do you capture this in a game? And I guess for them, the world being out of sorts was caused them some disquiet.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. Good. Good. So now, Tom, we got to get to our final thoughts here. Is this game worth staying on our respective hard drives, or are we going to go a little to the right?
The right.
I don't know.
Take it and shove it off the table. Just
yeah,
like a bunch of books on the desk, and you just clear them off with your hands, leave them on the pile on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Be the cat instead of the organizer.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I've got to say, and I've definitely talked about it through the episode here, this game very much speaks to my inner need to keep things organized and tidy. It's almost obviously designed for a person like me.
Yeah.
But that said, like, why would I do this in a virtual space? Like, I have plenty of outlets for this mania in my real life, right? Like, I've got to keep my bookshelves organized and, right, you know, make my bed in the morning. I don't know that I need to spend my entertainment time cleaning up people's messes. Clean up people's messes at the office.
But Tom, you don't get the satisfaction of that ding when you do that in real life. But now you get in this virtual space.
I think, you know, honestly, Chris, maybe I need more reward in the digital space, because reward of the job complete in the real world, I look at the clean table and go, aha, the table is clean. I look at my, the cutlery in the drawer and go, yes, everything is in its place.
Yeah.
But here it's so fleeting. It does. I don't know. There's
in a
not.
Way, yeah. Like in a way, I guess it's kind of like a WarioWare style of game.
Yeah.
Like I could see what you're saying. Like it would be kind of cool if like after you're complete, you kind of like the camera pans out so you could see this clean thing, or like you get to see this room start to be more clean as you go through it.
Yeah. Like, that could be kind of cool. Something like that would be good, right? Like a sense of scale, a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
Even just while I'm playing the game, knowing how far along I am.
Yeah.
Like
a
percentage completion bar would help.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, yeah, you're 30% done with this chapter. Like even that, like you said, you can zoom out and go back in and see that.
Yeah.
But I need to see it while I'm working on it.
Right.
Like
right.
To know how far along I am.
Yeah.
Because
I guess they went too zen.
Like, right. Exactly. And I totally get why they would, because having that meter showing you 30 or 40% done would eat away at your ability to just kind of zen out and go, oh, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever.
It's not part of the design.
For me, I could definitely see this being in my rotation, just like when I want to pass some time. Like the dailies sound interesting enough. And I think I'll keep this around for a bit. And another game that I could say I completed in my 2024 playthroughs, like if I go through and finish that main story or whatever.
Will you even know that you finished it?
When you close and reopen it, maybe. So there's that. So yeah, those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D. Shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com, or, you know, find us on Twitch when we play these games, twitch.tv/1H1D. That's kind of where we're at, what we're doing it. And, you know, we also put these videos on YouTube. So, you know, send us a comment down below. Tell us how wrong we are and how we organize things. And maybe we'll respond. So 1H1D is part of that QTB network. So if you like any great gaming content, go check it all out at quitthebuild.com/network. All right, Tom.
Yes. Before we go, there is the matter of organizing our thoughts around what are we going to play next time?
Indeed. So we are going to hit that surprise button and find out what we are playing next. So here we go. Oh, I've been wanting to check this game out. I'm going to probably say this name wrong. Jusan.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
That's the one that's looks French, right? I think.
Looks French. We'll see. We're going to find out. And you'll find out in our next episode. But thank you so much for tuning into this one. And we will catch you on the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.